This is the K-State Radio Network, and welcome once again to Agriculture Today. We turn now to the director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center based in Denver for this week's observations on the cattle market trends and loads to talk about this go-round. Jim Robb is with us once more. And Jim, before we get into everything else, let's just quickly look back at last week's trade. And you could generally say that there was market slippage in just about every quarter of that trade.
There was, Eric. You know, we had beef production down slightly in the preliminary numbers for the week, but you know, we are at the time of year where beef is kind of on the back burner a little bit compared to turkey and holiday meals, et cetera. Live fed cattle prices slipped a little bit last week, about 3% down week over week, but still nearly 11% above a year ago. Feeder cattle markets were softer across the board last week. A little bit of the strength that we've had in recent weeks seems to be behind us. The box beef cutout was down a couple dollars per hundredweight, about 1%. But still 15% above a year ago. And that's spilt over into the futures market or vice versa, depending on how we view things. And futures markets across the feeder cattle and live cattle contracts were all lower, clear through 2018. So you know, the market did have a softer tone last week.
The general thought, though, is this the sign of shift in direction, or is this just normal ebb and flow in the markets?
Well, it may be a little bit of both. We certainly had a very strong rally in the marketplace. I don't think we have a true shift in direction, but we're probably transitioning to more of a sideways market than a market that had pretty strong uptick, especially in the fed cattle arena in the last few weeks.
That cattle on feed report that the USDA posted Friday afternoon, let's turn to that. And well, it was mildly bearish when you consider the placements did test the upper end of the pre-report expectations.
It did, Eric. You know, the report numbers did come in within the pre-report range, but these are very wide ranges recently. And that probably gives a little bit of a negative undertone to this report. Overall, the on-feed inventory was 11.3 million head in the commercial lots with 1,000 head or more. And that was up 6.3% or nearly 700,000 head. That, as you mentioned, was within the range, but at the high end of the range for the on-feed count. And it's been a long time since we've had a 6% year-over-year increase in those monthly numbers. And that's been driven by larger placements in recent months. Nationally, we were up on placements percentage-wise 10.2%. And we had the largest placements for any October since 2011. So it's been a while since we've had those numbers. Marketings came in above a year ago, but we had one more slaughter day. But still, marketings on a daily average basis were the best in October since 2010. And I think we've continued to see some states ramping up in that in this overall environment. Kansas had the most numbers on feed since 2011 on the November 1 count. Texas was up largest since 2012. And a couple of the states, Nebraska and Iowa, in the top five, actually had the largest since this report format started in 1996. So clearly, the major cattle feeding states have ramped up their production systems.
This is more or less a reaffirmation of what's been understood, that as we roll into 2018, beef supplies are going to be more than ample, Jim.
Beef supplies are going to be up. You know, we'll have record large beef production in 2018 on our estimates. And also, on top of that, we'll have record large total red meat and poultry supplies. Now, that's not unusual. You know, we often set records in these industries, but we're going to ask consumers, probably the big picture headwind in the marketplace, is the overall total red meat and poultry production that the U.S. our output in 2018. It'll be record large again. We take that to a per capita basis. We adjust for imports and exports, and we'll ask U.S. consumers to probably eat the most total quantity of red meat and poultry on a retail weight basis since 2007, Eric. And so it's been quite a few years since we've had those kinds of levels, and that is the concern in the marketplace. The big picture concern as we look ahead to 2018 is just the sheer tonnage of total red meat and poultry that we're producing in this country. And then, by extension, how much we can export, et cetera, becomes very important.
That does put the onus on demand overall, certainly on the export scene. And there were several days back now, but nonetheless, there were new numbers issued on September beef imports and exports. And wanted to tap your perceptions on this report and what it had to say to us, Jim.
Well, it continued to be very positive for the beef complex, and the beef exports have, on a tonnage basis, have done much better than pork and chicken have done in recent months. For the month, we had U.S. beef export tonnage up 14% year over year. So we're clearly on track to set a new all-time record beef export tonnage in 2017. That's been probably the most important big-picture demand driver. It's been the demand coming from overseas customers for U.S. products. So that's been quite a positive story. Certainly has been the demand front, including these exports, has been a key to getting the cattle market where we've gotten it to in the fourth quarter of 2017. You know, there's a lot of geopolitical uncertainty, et cetera, but these export markets are the key. Probably the most important demand driver has actually been the export markets, even though domestic demand has been quite good also.
On that domestic side, as we round out our thoughts on demand overall, can domestic beef demand bear up into 2018 to stay with the pace of increased beef supplies?
Well, it probably can, Eric, but it depends on a lot of things continuing to come together like they have, especially in the second half of 2017. Retailers have used beef as a featuring item, even going into the turkey featuring. We've had front page ads on beef items across the United States. So beef has been really a tool that retailers have used to bring people into the stores and into restaurants. Can that continue? A lot of this turns on how strong the U.S. economy is. We know consumers prefer many beef items compared to other animal-based proteins. But a lot of this depends on the economy. And we think it can, but certainly as we look ahead, we would say the supply side increasingly gets large enough for the next 2 years that we may not be able to repeat the prices and certainly the strength that markets had that we were kind of pleasantly surprised with in the second half of 2017.
Well, Jim, you and your associates at the Livestock Marketing Information Center have put forth your latest estimations on returns to cow-calf production for this calendar year 2017. Just to set the stage for this, the initial perception on that was that those returns would be in the red, but it's quite the opposite story, you say.
It has, and I'd like to point out to people, Eric, that we do these estimates because we're market analysts and, you know, drivers of the cow-calf decision-making are whether we're making a little bit of money in the industry, and forage conditions are two of the keys as we're looking ahead to cyclically cattle numbers and how producers will respond. So we use a cash cost plus pasture rent, but the relative change in these numbers is certainly, as we look back, since we've been doing these in the early 1970s, have been a key corollary to what herd numbers have done over time. And we did expect up until a couple months ago, until we had this very strong rally in calf prices, driven by the overall marketplace, cattle feeders making money, export demand, you know, a whole host of factors coming together. This measure of profitability, again, cash cost plus pasture rent on kind of an aggregate basis, would be negative this year. Certainly, we've had a lot of producers this year that faced wildfire, drought, flooding, and et cetera across the U.S. But, you know, the pleasant surprise in calf and yearling prices and rather low feedstuff costs now has turned that to positive and strongly positive. Our estimate would put this number, close to $70 per head. And to give it more context, that'll be our about the same as profitability was in 2011, well below 2014, for example, but profit on this basis nonetheless. And that does bode well for producers in terms of their financial management, et cetera. So, again, a lot of producers have suffered with some Mother Nature issues in 2017. But on balance, the U.S. industry, especially on the cow-calf side, due to these market fundamentals and demand for product, has turned out quite a bit better than anticipated just a few months ago, as you pointed out.
And for further comparison purposes, as you note, the estimate in the positive $69 per cow in 2017, last year it was in the red to the tune of $21 per head, right?
And I think that is a relative thing that we need, is rather reflective of the overall industry. You know, not as good as 2 years ago, but certainly better than last year, and one that it probably takes a little bit of pressure off some of our financial decision-making in the industry at the cow-calf level.
But in this same analysis, you take a shot at what might be ahead for the cow-calf sector, and those returns may become thinner in 18.
Well, it had about everything come together in a positive way in 2017. And we have to remember that the calf crop in 17 is bigger than 16. 18 will be bigger again. So we are still, these increasing supplies that we talked about earlier are still something that the market will need to deal with and will be reflected in the prices of calves and yearlings, and will be a driver of the margins in the next 2 years ahead. And we shouldn't bank that we've cyclically turned higher on cow-calf returns. They're still under some pressure from the supply side.
And Jim, the best to you and yours during this Thanksgiving break ahead. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Eric. It's been my pleasure.
He is the director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center. To remind you once more, that is a service co-sponsored by K-State and numerous other land-grant universities. Jim Robb with this week's cattle market analysis and comment for you on this Agriculture Today.